You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
It's the 1st of Feb, 2021, and GOP state lawmakers in three battleground states where Joe Biden narrowly defeated Trump in November are working to tighten their state's vote-by-mail rules. Good. That would be in Georgia and Arizona and also Pennsylvania. They're going to tighten those rules down. Not to keep someone from winning effectively but legally, to keep the election fair. Simple as that. In the meantime, President Joe Biden is meeting with 10 Senate Republicans. He wants to discuss a bipartisan coronavirus rescue package. Now, the proposed Republican relief bill is only $618 billion. With $1,000 personal direct payment relief checks. Biden's proposal against that $618 billion is $1.9 trillion, $1,400 in direct payments, billions of money for schools, and for state and local bailouts. There you have it. All these states that have fouled everything up, and they've lost all their populace and their companies because of higher and higher taxes, we're going to bail them out. I don't live in New York State. I don't want to help bail them out. Oh, by the way, Saturday Night Live, back on the air after its break. And you would have thought this would be the first program they're having since the election. They did not. And again, keep in mind, Saturday Night Live spent 4 years mocking Trump each week. They did not open with an impersonation of Biden nor Harris. They just kind of shied away from all of it. One person noted, SNL can't say anything bad about Biden. He's a Democrat. Yep, that's probably it. Oh, speaking of Democrats, Andrew Cuomo, New York governor, nine of his top health officials have left their posts or retired in the past several months as Cuomo is taking heat for his coronavirus vaccine rollout plan. That's the report from the New York Times. It's just being ignored, obviously, by the rest of the mainstream media. You do know that anytime anyone left, I don't care if they were, their duty was simply to vacuum the carpet in the Oval Office or they left the White House while Trump was in there, it became a headline story. This, you got to look to find it. California Governor Newsom, of course, trying to avoid a recall threat from the Republicans. They're leading it. But now several in his own party are criticizing how he has failed to deal with coronavirus in their state. They want him out. Well, if it's Monday, it must be time for an update report on the weekend deaths in Chicago. Over this last weekend, in Mayor Lightfoot, Chicago, 20 were shot, two fatally. By the way, one of those involved an expressway ramp shooting. A guy on the Kennedy Expressway. Someone shot him. Now, in 2019, Chicago had 52 expressway shootings. For 2020, they reported 115 expressway shootings. Driving in Chicago, you're at risk, apparently. We have that major winter storm slamming the Northeast. It's going to drop up to 2 feet of snow all the way from Pennsylvania to New England. Cities like Philly and New York City and Boston are going to be hit hard. Many airlines have already shut down traffic in and out of those areas for a period of time. And they're going to expect it to get even worse. LGBT activists are cheering because Secretary of State Blinken's first announcement was He's going to reverse an order from President Donald Trump. He will put pride flags at U.S. embassies around the world. He's going to put pride flags at the U.S. embassies. Okay, if that's what we're going to do, I want one for Texas. I'll guarantee you there are more Texans than there are those in the LGBT community. How about my, I want my flag. Oh, and Congresswoman Ilhan Omar wants a tax on stock trades because she watched all these folks make money off of the Robin Hood trading the other day. Does she not realize most of those doing it are common people? They're not rich people. No, I don't think she realizes anything.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels. Oh, number seven. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
In the initial days of the pandemic, as New York braced to become the first major epicenter of coronavirus in the United States, Governor Andrew Cuomo received accolades for his handling of it. He even wrote a book touting his leadership during the crisis. His science-based approach to the looming pandemic stood out in comparison to the inaccurate and oftentimes bizarre White House coronavirus task force briefings helmed by President Trump.
People don't know what to believe. And that's why just the facts, ma'am, as they used to say. Just give me the facts.
Let's just start with the facts.
The worst news of all for us to live with every day and an everyday tragedy.
By April, you know, in theory, when it gets a little warmer, it miraculously goes away.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute.
Cuomo supporters buzzed about the governor possibly launching a late presidential run or that he might be picked by the Democratic nominee as a running mate. But there has been a controversy around his leadership during the pandemic in his state that has been difficult for the governor to shake, and that is his handling of coronavirus deaths in nursing homes.
Well, that was an extended report. I decided to let it play out from CNN and NNN as one of their anchors tried to be a journalist reporting on the problems with Cuomo and the nursing home deaths and how a lot of information has been withheld, while CNN was praising him constantly, as was everyone on the left. Oh, he's the greatest. I mean, look at it. Here's a leader. He comes and talks to the people every day and he gives them the facts. Look at Trump over there. Says he doesn't believe in the science and doesn't think it's going to go away. It's, you know, I got this thing might help you. You might try it. know, they were pretty much anointing Cuomo as a saint savior for New York. That's the same Cuomo, of course, that ordered in March nursing homes to take COVID-positive patients. If you got them in your nursing home, you keep them there. If you send them to the hospital should send them back to you. And the word came out the other day from the Attorney General of New York State. The Attorney General appointed by Cuomo saying reporting from the Public Health Department has been inaccurate. They have underreported the number of those who died in nursing homes by as much as 50%. And probably the numbers are going to be a lot more than that. No, Cuomo, during that period of time, under his order, 6,000 plus were admitted to 310 nursing homes spread across the state of New York. And it put them in jeopardy and danger. And when the story first began to break back during that time that that's not a good idea to put them in nursing homes, well, Cuomo's first defense is to say, this is the conservative Trump people and another conspiracy theory. That's what he wanted to just blame it on another one of their conspiracy theories.
The conspiracy they're trying to spread just has no factual basis. But yes, people in nursing homes died, and they're playing politics with the issue.
Incompetent government kills people. More people died than needed to die in COVID. That's the truth.
That is the truth, and it's also on your hands directly in your state. Trump didn't order nursing homes to take COVID patients. The governor of New York did. And the governor of New Jersey also was following along for a period of time. But when you were trying to get numbers on how many actually died in New York State, in those nursing homes, you couldn't get them. The numbers just weren't coming forward. I wonder why. When I hear Cuomo say, we're going to give you the truth. Folks want the facts, just the facts, ma'am. And then, in October, this is after he has now released his book. Yeah, he wrote a book during the midst of this crisis. He found reason to write a book about how he did in handling the pandemic. Can you say that you know anyone who is more egotistical than that? You can say what you want about Trump, but Cuomo's writing a book while he's still in the midst of the pandemic. It hasn't gone away, and the book comes out in October. American Crisis, Leadership Lessons from the COVID-19 Pandemic. And the publisher touts him as his courageous honesty, real leadership, real clear communications, compassion for others, a commitment to truth-telling, no matter how frightening the facts may be. That's one of the bits advertising the book when it came out. That was in October. And again, when October was there, Cuomo was being questioned then about the deaths that had happened in nursing homes. Because again, he put the order in effect in March, did not rescind it until May. And he says, I'm only going to give you the facts, the truth. I'm courageous. Well, what was his response still in October about ordering nursing homes to take COVID patients? Listen to this.
We always had additional beds for COVID positive people. We had emergency hospital beds, additional hospital capacity. We never forced any nursing home to take them. We always had additional hospital beds and emergency beds. So no nursing home was forced to take someone.
Really? No nursing home was forced to take any of these. I mean, I guess he thought, even though he had put the order in effect in March, that come May, when he rescinded it, we could just, well, they just kind of wiped it out. I mean, it's like maybe you had a juvie record, but when you serve out your probation and you do everything right, it'll be expunged from your file. You don't want to see it. CNN was more than happy to go along with that. I mean, they were more than happy. In fact, don't forget his brother, Chris Cuomo, is also a CNN anchor. And he would often have his brother, Andrew, on board. But they never talked about anything really tough and hard. No. They just joked around. Now, the closest they came is the other day when the report came from the AG, the New York Attorney General, that the health department had underreported nursing home deaths by 50%. And Andrew Cuomo goes on with his brother on CNN. He knows he's not going to be treated really harshly. So why not go with my brother? But the brother feels, well, I guess I'm compelled. I'm going to have to ask something. But he kind of throws it out there like this. Oh, by the way, this. Nursing homes. People died there. They didn't have to. It was mismanaged and the operators have been given immunity. What do you have to say about that? And Cuomo starts joking. Several statements are not correct, but that's okay. It's your show. You can say whatever you want to say. And again, dodging any responsibility. To its credit, CNN ran a clip of a man who's lost his mother, who was sent to one of those nursing homes. And he did a piece on video saying, my mom would be 82 years old today, but she's not here. His name, Jerry Mondolato, I believe is correct pronunciation. And why isn't his mother here?
The COVID crisis in New York's nursing homes was a preventable crisis. It was fueled by poor public policy decisions like the Department of Health's March 25th directive. In a cruel twist of fate, while healthy families like mine were locked out of nursing homes and forced to stay away from our loved ones, my mom was locked into a facility with COVID-positive patients released from a hospital. Worse yet, despite the governor's daily press briefings, families like mine were kept in the dark about this important policy change and actively misled by nursing home officials. It was only after my mom developed her first COVID symptoms that I confronted the director of nursing, and he finally admitted to me that, in quote, his words, he had been forced to admit COVID patients into the facility by the state, and that he could not guarantee that my mom had not been exposed to COVID.
Did you hear that? He said, finally, as I continued to press, the nursing home operator said we were forced to take in COVID patients. And I cannot say that maybe your mom didn't get it from one we were forced to take. Now, Cuomo, even with that in his face again, ever since he rescinded the order back in May, and they kept talking about, look at these deaths in nursing homes. And all the time while he's busy covering it up and saying we're going to be transparent, he kept hiding the numbers and reworking them, along with the help of his health commissioner, Howard Zucker, who's had his position since 2014. All the time, still denying, this was something we've never seen or had before, and, you know, we did the best we could and should at that point, and yet they still want to lie about the numbers because that's damaging and damning. And, of course, then Cuomo started looking at, well, you know, well, maybe I can also put some of the blame on the nursing homes themselves or hospitals. Yeah, let me try that tack.
If you died in a nursing home, it's called a nursing home death. If you die in a hospital, it's called a hospital death. It doesn't say where were you before. And if I'm a nursing home operator, I say, don't say that person died in my nursing home because they didn't.
That's right. Helping the nursing homes out. No, we can just get them in the ambulance and then route to the hospital. Like Pontius Pilate, we can wash our hands of them. Until the hospital sends them back. Say, we got an order for the state. We can't take them. You're supposed to keep them there. And who would be responsible for that? Oh, that would be, well, that'd be Cuomo again. Cuomo. The reason I'm spending so much time on this, for all the flack that Trump got and how he handled what he said, so forth, that's fine. But do you not think we should have some semblance of fairness and where blame lies in some cases? I think the latest numbers I see, are showing that an estimated, it's still the numbers, I think, on the nursing homes may be off. Like maybe 8,000 to 10,000, maybe. But they're saying a total of 43,000 have died of coronavirus, New Yorkers. And by that, I don't know if they mean New York State or New York City. I think that's for the whole state. And the New York Times is reporting that and said it's unknown if Cuomo's plan would have performed better or worse than some of the others. And that's referenced getting the vaccine out. That's been another problem at this point. The vaccine rollout in his own state. While he's complaining, we need this. And first of all, we're not going to get it if Trump rushed it. It'd be dangerous. Well, now suddenly he wants it, and they're not doing a good job of getting it out. They set it up in one of the poor areas of New York, one of the boroughs the other day. It was mainly meant to help brown, black, yellow, minority poor people in that area. Well, the word didn't get out to them. I don't know if they set it out on computer or how it got out, but they looked up and here were a whole line of, they said, we've never seen this many white people down here. They're coming in for the vaccine. And they got their vaccine, but of course the others didn't so far. Which brings me to a change apparently the Pentagon is going to make regarding vaccines for Gitmo prisoners and Twitter censoring Catholic Church.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
As I was mentioning as we went to the break, I told you the other day that if you're having trouble getting your vaccination, you're being told we don't have enough yet, or you're waiting to be called, or you don't know where you are on the list, or maybe you are on a priority list but none available for you yet. I told you that the Pentagon was preparing to move forward and give the vaccinations to inmates at Gitmo. That's where we hold terrorists, some including the 9/11 terrorist activities. They were going to get a vaccine before Americans were going to get it. Well, the Pentagon has decided to pause that for right now and pausing the plan to move forward. Now, they do want to protect their forces that are there to watch over the detainees, but to give them to the inmates, that includes Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, one of the principal architects of the 9/11 attacks, and others. Once again, reference Cuomo. Again, this book that he found time to write and put out. Well, of course, he didn't write all of it. We shouldn't even say that, but he wanted to act like, now I'm an author. That book, of course, didn't mention anything anywhere in his book about how many nursing home residents died in New York. The book came out in October. From March to May, when for 6 weeks before he rescinded the order, they had 6,000-plus deaths that they've acknowledged, and we still don't know what the real number is. We just heard the attorney general say the other day that they're 50% underreported. And Cuomo's saying, hey, if they didn't die, if they were in the nursing home, they went to the hospital and they died in the hospital, that's not a nursing home death. Not my fault. The same guy that was saying, I know folks want the fact. That's what we're going to give them. We're going to give them the facts. And you got CNN, again, like I say, at that time, just doing everything it can to praise Cuomo. And they start talking about, hey, you know, maybe this guy could run for president. Maybe he could run for president, or at least be the second person on the ticket. Look what he's doing. Look how calm. And every day he's there doing it for the public. And remember, he got an Emmy. for portraying on television courage and calmness and leadership, which is, again, a slap in the face at Trump is what they're trying to do. We all know that. And when the scandal broke the other day about Cuomo and these deaths in the nursing homes and the numbers been fudged, covered up, just not reported, how do you want to explain it? I mean, Cuomo has yet to offer an explanation other than fall back to previous statements that if they died in the hospital and they had been in the nursing home, well, then you can't blame it. You can't say they died because my order referenced nursing homes. And again, you heard some bites we played previously in the previous segment where he said, hey, we had plenty of hospital beds, but they were not sending COVID patients from nursing homes to hospitals. They kept them there, and that was a big issue because nursing home staffs often rotate to other nursing homes. Hospital staffs pretty much stay at that particular hospital. And, of course, they're vulnerable. They have other illnesses, and they become very easily infected with anything that goes through. So when the story broke the other day, the CNN editor-at-large, Chris Cillizza, declared on Twitter, Andrew Cuomo COVID-19 story took a major hit today, that the governor's performance may have been less stellar than it seemed. Less stellar? You think they would have treated Trump with those words, less stellar, or would they have said, may have been more deadly than he alluded to? Cillizza wrote, if Trump is seen as a public face of the failed government response to coronavirus, Cuomo is seen by some as the opposite. He understood the challenges, but his performance may have been less stellar. I want you to hear from a retiring exec at CNN as to how things are done at CNN. Right. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The triad really is a combination of our colleagues on the row, which are senior editors, veteran journalists who've been working in the business for a long time, the legal department, and standards. And triple team these tough stories and challenge our colleagues to make sure what they're doing is accurate. What have they left out? What do they need to go back and check out? Have they been fair to the other side?
Those are the words of Richard Davis, now leaving CNN, an executive that had the title of Vice President of Standard and Practices, 40 years in the industry. He appeared on an interview program, Reliable Sources, another one of those CNN programs, this one hosted by Brian Stelter, who is often wrong about many things he puts out and his approach on them, Reliable Sources, and that's what gets me every time they put that title on it, Reliable Sources. Anyway, he had Rick Davis on. I mean, kind of a tribute to the guy for the time he's put in, and Rick is explaining kind of how things are done. You just heard him say the triad. We bring together lawyers if necessary, top producers, reporters, and we try to make sure that we're doing justice by the story. We're covering it correctly. And he added that other line. What was it? Let me see. It said, fair to the other side? Really? Have they been concerned about fairness to the other side? Or do they say we're trying to say, have we been fair? And then maybe, Yeah, we might have been too fair. Pull it back. Or have we been fair and, well, we're not going to now? I mean, there is no fairness on that network. And in fact, Davis ends up calling out reliable sources, the very program he's appearing on, for not having a diversity of thoughts and conservative views. We'll get to that in a moment. But again, this is kind of inside baseball type stuff that you wouldn't be getting. Well, except for what Project Veritas did not too long ago. Remember that they were listening in to these morning conference calls as the CNN team. I assume that also included the Triad. I don't know if Richard Davis was part of the conversations as they were doing their morning conference call. But Project Veritas verified that CNN's boss was sitting in on them. And he was kind of telling them what they're going to cover and how they're going to cover it. I mean, do you want to be in that meeting? And the president of your network says, well, I don't think we really want to give that time today to the story from the New York Post about Hunter's laptop because we don't know if it's true. It's, you know. Oh, do you say you have something new on the dossier, the P dossier tape? Well, let's run with that. Even though it's already been debunked numerous places. They want us to believe that they were actually holding these meetings to try to come up with the proper reporting and it was fair to the other side. Now, I've not been at that level. I'm going to tell you, I've never been in a network or cable network operation producer meeting. But every newsroom generally has at least one meeting a day, sometimes two, one in about middle of the morning, planning out what's going to happen that day, and then midday, see where we are and where we're going and what's going to be on for tonight, you know, things of that nature, and who we're going to assign. And, you know, I want to make you sure you understand. There are so many decisions made on stories that get on the air and how they're treated. It begins with, are we going to cover the story? Two, are we going to give it really some good time, or are we just going to kind of gloss over it? Are we going to send our best reporter to it or send some guy that's new? They can't find his way around town. Are we going to send the best photographer, the one that's always coming back and the video looks crappy? I mean, all these decisions are made. And then it comes back, and then they decide, well, are we going to put it on the air now after all? Or are we going to reduce it to a 15-second package, just a voiceover, show the video, and the anchors will read something? We'll get Larry Connors, that smooth-talking Texan, to read our story, and it'll sound pretty exciting. Okay, I made that up. But the bottom line is, decisions are made at various places. But when I listened to Richard Davis, who was the VP of Standard and Practices, and I hear him talk about CNN credibility, well, just listen, please.
CNN's main asset is its credibility and its trust. And I think certainly the way the audiences have come to us on television and digital, particularly in the last year, particularly in the last quarter, particularly in the last month, shows that they trust these three red letters to deliver news that's accurate, fair, and responsible.
The three, you know the three red letters, don't you? C-O-N, con. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He meant C-N-N. I got it wrong. I'm sorry. But that you trust. We go there because you trust them. Yeah, their numbers and their viewership certainly shows that happening, doesn't it? But he said, that starts our main asset is our credibility. Richard Davis, may I add a point here? If your main asset at CNN is credibility, you ain't got it. You ain't got it. This is where the rubber hits the road, as we say down south. All I see from you is a big hat, no cattle. But he would have you believe we With our triad, we're trying to make sure we do the story correctly, fair to the other side, and our main asset is credibility. Well, I told you earlier about how Project Veritas exposed something they'd done. When you get the head of CNN sitting in these meetings and deciding what we're going to cover or not, and then you've got his host of this reliable sources deciding to ask a question. This again is Brian Stelter. I'm going to let it play out because I want to hear the give and take. And when you hear the question that Stelter gives Davis, you can almost hear him thinking, "Did I get my last check cashed yet, or have I gotten it? Because I got to be real careful. I got to know that I've got that in the bank. Because what I say here next, but would you, you just listen to it play out, please?
If I go to a party, or I go to meet somebody, or even if I'm on the golf course and somebody says, so what do you do? And the minute I tell them what I do, oh my God, you'll hear about what they love and you'll hear about what they hate, depending on whether they love us or they don't.
What do you think this program should be doing more of?
I'd have to think about that. It's a tough question. More of, I think, frankly, yes, I can tell you that. I think you need to strive to have more voices on the show from right of center. Responsible voices from right of center on the show. And I think from occasionally when you can, you want to have some newsmakers on who can express to you how they feel about the media, particularly if they feel like the media got it wrong. And let them talk about it and hear
it. Hear what it's like to be in the glare, when they know what it's like to be covered by the news media. Yeah.
Right. And if you had the opportunity, wouldn't it be great if you had a writer who wrote the story and the newsmaker who felt like he didn't get a fair shake?
Oh, wow. He just told him how you can improve your program, what you need to be doing, because when he's saying it might be good to have somebody on there that says, I didn't get a fair shake, and maybe more conservative voices. Everything he lists says we don't have that, and your reliable sources program, Brian, is lacking it. And I'm sitting here again thinking, when I saw that the other day, I mean, when I watched it, I'm thinking, here is Rick Davis, 40 years in the industry, CNN vice president of standards and practices, and if he saw all of this happening, if he saw it all happening over this period of time, why the hell didn't he speak up and complain and point it out and make a noise then? Well, let's be honest for a moment. You got 40 years, approaching 40 years in at your business, and you're going to get a big paycheck, big payout, pension, whatever, I don't know, and you're looking for some kind of help. And you don't want to do anything to rock the boat, not as long as you're there. Don't ruin it. You're not quite out the door yet. And when he got asked the question, I'm telling you, I could hear the wheels beginning, is the check cleared yet? Do I have it? Okay, I'll tell you. Yeah, I do have an idea. What an answer. Well, why the hell weren't you doing that and pushing that earlier? You are a CNN vice president. All right. When we come back, let's talk about how Facebook made it clear they want to undermine the transition of power, presidential power, and Twitter going after the Catholic Church. Stand by, please.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm
so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so as we're talking about CNN, I'd mentioned Project Veritas when they were listening in on the morning production meetings with the chairman, president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, taking part in those meetings. Taking part in a morning production meeting. Does anyone want to dispute what he says we should be covering today? Project Veritas gets a credit for exposing that. They also get credit for what they found out about CEO Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook. They did another piece of insider footage with some of the top company execs, including Zuckerberg. And apparently during one of the meetings, Zuckerberg was discussing Trump, and he said his decision to use his platform to condone rather than condemn the actions of his supporters in the Capitol, I think, has rightly bothered and disturbed people in the U.S. and around the world. And he did say during one of the meetings that a large reason for blacklisting Trump from the platform was due to fears that Trump wanted to undermine the transition of power, claiming that Trump wanted to undermine the transition of power, so we got to shut him down. Facebook also has decided no more ads in California for the recall of the governor. Yeah, they said basically no more ads. Those who are trying to get Gavin Newsom recalled, the chairman for Reform California, the group circulating petitions, told you can no longer put ads regarding Newsom to recall him. So there you have again an opportunity, or I should say an indication that the left really does not want freedom. It wants control. You want another example? Catholic World Report is a Catholic media outlet, publication of Ignatius Press. It got a notice last month, January 24, that its account had been locked for hateful conduct. Hateful conduct? What did they do? Well, one of the journalists for Catholic World Report had stated in a tweet, Biden plans to nominate Dr. Rachel Levine, a biological man identifying as a transgender woman who has served as Pennsylvania's health secretary since 2017, to be HHS Assistant Secretary for Health. Levine is also a supporter of the contraceptive mandate. Well, that's true, identifying exactly that, and that's exactly who got nominated. Levine is transgender, has no problem, that wants to make a point of it. But because the Catholic World Report put it in there on a tweet, well, they decided, Twitter is deciding, we're going to lock down their account. That's hateful, bigoted language. Even though it's stating the fact, and if you asked Dr. Rachel Levine, biological man now identifying as a transgender, are you a biological man identifying as a transgender? Well, yes, I am, and very proud of it. The other thing might have followed by that, quoting Pope Francis on one of the tweets, saying that gender ideology is, quote, demonic. Pope Francis said that. So is the Pope a purveyor of hate speech? It's a good question. That's a comment question from the Catholic League president, Bill Donahue, about Twitter canceling their activities. I told you in the previous hour also about how the cosmetic maker, Sephora, had dumped one of their great influencers who helped bring them a lot of clients and so forth, and women loved the makeup. She was pushing and helping them and helping the company, and they'd signed her on. But then when the word came from a left-wing Twitter troll saying, I saw something she put up, she could be a supporter of the dangerous MAGA group, Sephora said, well, thanks for reaching out, bring it to our attention. We will drop that contact. We're going to cease all programming with Amanda. We'll not engage her. What did she do? Well, Amanda stated that she is unapologetically conservative and identifies as first and foremost a Christian, secondly American, thirdly Latino. And Sephora said, yeah, that violates our inclusive policy. I'll repeat again. Inclusive means only if you do what we do. Otherwise, we are exclusive. Now, I don't know if you've caught this story. It happened over the weekend. Black Lives Matter is nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. A member from Norway nominated Black Lives Matter for the Nobel Peace Prize. And another a Norwegian lawmaker also nominated Stacey Abrams from Georgia. And don't forget, we've had previously Harvard Law Professor Emeritus Dershowitz nominating Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, for the Nobel Prize on the work on the Mideast. And in fact, now an Estonian member of the European Parliament nominating Trump for the Nobel Prize over that Israel-UAE peace deal. This could be a really hot contest. We got the BLM, we got Trump. I mean, it's got a lot in play. How do you think it's going to go? Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.